Mishnah begins, Ve'elu Megalchin B'moed. These are the people who are allowed to shave during Chol HaMoed.
Shave or haircut?
Shave. We're going to get to that though. It's coming. It's coming. Tosod asks your question. Okay? It's a Tosod on the next Amud. Okay? We're going to get there. But it's shave. Most likely shave. We'll see why. These are the people who are allowed to shave on the Moed. And Tosfot here asks why it says Ve'elu, and it's a continuation. I'm told you did the previous chapters of Moed Katan, so it's a continuation of those who are allowed to do certain activities on Chol HaMoed. You've been discussing people who are allowed to sell fruit, because that's the need of the Moed, so it's a continuation of that. So the Mishnah continues, Eim Galchim V'Moed, Habam Yimedinat Hayam. Somebody who comes from out of town. Okay, exactly what that is and what the problem is our topic of our shiur on Tuesday. I heard, I think I caught your name was Bernie?
Yeah,
so I was discussing Shalom Bereshut and what that means. That's the topic of Tuesday's shiur. Okay? But it's somebody who, because he came from far away, wasn't able to shave before Yontif. So now it's Chol HaMoed, and he needs to shave. So because he was unable to, exactly what those circumstances are, so he is allowed to shave now during Chol HaMoed. And there's a whole discussion from how far out of town, are we talking about Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz, etc. Okay, all for Tuesday.
You mentioned before about getting haircut before shaving, but at least in B6, the word for Giluach is usually shaving.
Okay. But the Gemara and the Mishnah here uses the term Giluach Rosh. So Giluach Takan, Giluach Rosh. So it refers to them as both. Okay? But most of the focus is on shaving. Tosot discusses. Okay, well, we can go to the Tosot now. I have no problem. Tosot says, we are on the Tosot on Yudalit Amid Aleph. It says, Tosot Divar Matil Ushar. Okay, it's the second Tosfot on the page. Okay, we're in the middle of the Tosfot. And it says, V'yesh mefarshim, Dekai al giluach harosh, Dasrinan mishum tircha. What is the topic of our Mishnah? Is it talking about shaving? So some say it's referring to haircuts. Because haircuts are a problem to do on Chol HaMoed, because it is too much work that we would want you not to do that on Chol HaMoed. We wouldn't want you to leave that on Chol HaMoed. So we're getting a little ahead of our discussion about what it is about Chol HaMoed that we're going to get to, but because everybody is asking about the haircuts for shaving, so we'll discuss it. Ve'ein zen note lefi ma sheparshinan ha-mishnah de giluach kol harosh melacha gemura va'aser. Because the whole head would be more work. Now, I will explain that more based on another Tosfot here in 1 second. So if that's not clear, let me find where in the other Tosfot. Ah, yes, the first Tosfot. Aval giluach shel rosho. We are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, about 8 lines down. Second to last words in the line are aval giluach. Aval giluach shel rosho aser mishum malacha afilu v'makom onus. The first approach of Tosod, and he has another approach, and that's the one that seems to make more sense according to Tosod, you'll see. But he says the first one is, we're only discussing shaving. These are the people allowed to shave. But haircuts would be not even allowed for these people. Meaning clearly, haircuts involve more work, something more inappropriate for Chol HaMoed. V'shar giluach de bar gemara, my time in Asuri, hainu giluach shel yipoi, to have a chol mishri letzorach hamoed afa pisha melacha. So even though I'm telling you that we think haircuts are asur, some of it, some nice trim, which might make you look more presentable for chol hamoed, that part would be allowed on chol hamoed. So what we have in Tosot, between the two Tosots, is that either when the Mishnah says, Ve'elu Megalchin, these people can Megaleach, are we assuming it's specifically shaving because haircuts would certainly be usher? Or the other way, Tosfot suggests it's mutter b'moed because it's litzora hamoed. Tosfot calls this the yesh mefarshim. In other words, if Tosfot is discussing a haircut, now something is easier. As in, shaving is of course okay, and we're only discussing haircuts. You see the difference? If the Mishnah is discussing shaving, so then there are people who can shave, and there are people who can't shave. And haircuts wouldn't be allowed. If the Mishnah is discussing haircuts, of course all shaving is allowed. And that doesn't seem to be the way the flow of the sugya works and the way we paskin, so Tosfot doesn't really consider that the option. Haircuts are out of the question. We're discussing who can shave.
What is the difference between a haircut and actually shaving a beard? The malacha would be the same.
I think...
The beard is the same thing as cutting.
How often did you do them? Meaning...
I'm curious about at the time of the Mishnah whether a shaving was practiced. And as we have with today.
A trim. It probably wasn't our way.
When he says, Gilua Chazokon, I don't... Could be that it does not mean shaving, but it means trimming the beard. And Gilua Kolaros would mean a haircut. And shaving was not even in the picture.
Could be. So Tosfot suggests to a possibility that it's only discussing that because shaving is something so minimal. Haircuts is a big story.
To me, it seems like the opposite. In other words, if you go to shave, you're doing it. You have to do the work to shave. You get a haircut.
You go to a barber.
Go to a barber. You don't cut your own hair. So,
okay.
The more work part, to me, would be
haircuts. Okay, so then, so you want to say the Mishnah is Ve'elu Megalten is about Gilua Harosh. Okay. Tosfot does consider both possibilities, and he has it as a Yesh Mefarshim, and he doesn't decide them. Yes?
I don't see why Tosfos brings in the Inyan of Tircha and Malacha. The Gemara states clearly
we're gonna get there.
The reason that it's Usur has nothing to do with how much Tircha it is or is it. It's simply we want people to come into Yom Tov looking good. And if you allow them to take haircuts and shaves on Yom Tov, they will not come into Yom Tov looking good.
Excellent point. We will discuss that when we get to the Gemara.
I believe that the Rav said that somebody who shaves every day...
That's the focus of the end of our shir.
Must shave.
That's the focus of our end of our shir, the Iyun portion. First, we're trying to understand the Pshakamar. First, we're trying to understand the Pshakamar. That's actually the focus of the source sheet I gave out. Most of it, about three quarters of it, is that topic. Okay, that was what I brought to discuss. But first, let's understand the text of the Gemara. Okay. So, Ve'elam Megalkin B'moed. Habam Medinat Hayam. Ve'Beit HaShivya. Somebody who got out of captivity. Ve'Yotzei Ve'Beit HaAsurin. Somebody who got out of prison. And Tosfot and Mefarshim here discuss, is this a Jewish prison or non-Jewish prison? And we tend to assume, regardless, prison isn't a place conducive for your haircuts and shaving, and you may not be properly kept, you know, you might not have the best sanitary conditions there. So if you got out of any kind of prison, you are in this category. One of the main topics of this third chapter is different kind of cherems, excommunications. People who we've put into a certain category of stay away from them. And a menuda is somebody who may have upset somebody else, may have to make it up to him. They took him, goes to court, doesn't go to court, and they put him in a type of cherem, excommunication, and they tend to last 30 days. And therefore, his 30 days may end up in the middle of Chol HaMoed, and therefore he couldn't shave or get his hair cut before Chol HaMoed. And then the Mishnah says, V'chein mi shenishal v'chacham v'hutar. Somebody who went to a Talmud Chacham and asked him about a neder he took. I took a neder not to shave for whatever reason, and now I want to be able to shave. So can I shave? So you go to the Chacham, and it's the middle of Chol HaMoed, and he says, now you can shave. So Erev Yontif, you weren't able to go to the Chacham, and now you are able to. Where do I get this from? Let's look at the beginning of the Tosfot that we skipped to the middle of, on the top of Yudalet Amud Aleph. Menuda Ushanishal. Birushalmi Maksha. Hani Lama Hitiru. Why were these people allowed to go get a haircut? What is the assumption of Tosfot's question? There's a certain type of onus. Onus we explain as circumstances beyond your control. This person who came from Medinat Hayam, this person who was in prison, had some circumstances beyond his control that prevented him from being able to shave or get a haircut before Yontif began. And now it's Chol HaMoed and he suddenly has the ability to. So those people had something that prevented them, circumstances beyond their control. What about the Menuda and the person who took a nether? Valo Pasha Shelo Ba Lifnei HaMoed Lifnei HaChacham La'atirlo. The person who went to a Talmid Chacham and says, hey, I'm really sorry about that nether, please help me out. And the Chacham says, okay, your nether is gone. Now, why didn't you do that last week? That isn't circumstances beyond your control. That's circumstances within your control. First of all, who took the nether? You did. Second of all, how do you get out of the nether? You go to the Chacham. Why didn't you go to the Chacham until now? Umeshani shekalulo shloshim yom shel nidoy b'moed. So first, for the first one, the nidoy, the excommunication. So you'll see when we get later in the third chapter, there's the stam, the typical one, is for 30 days. So if you happen to have done something wrong 2 weeks before Yontif, or 3 weeks before Yontif, it's going to end up that you'll be out of it in the middle of Chol HaMoed, and it is circumstances beyond your control. And what about the one who took the nether? He could have gone and asked the Chacham. Chayn misha nishal l'chacham, moki la kishabah b'chol HaMoed. Who's the Chacham? The Chacham has to be this big Talmid Chacham who's going to be able to help you out of the nether. He knows the laws of Nidarim, and he's going to help you out of it. He wasn't in town before Chag. He's in town now. And he only was able to help you out of it now. Inami lifnei HaMoed lo matzu bo petach. Or even if the Talmid Chacham was there, he didn't have a petach to help you out of the nether. So let's understand this, if you'll allow me 5 minutes to take a slight tangent to understand the way Tosfot is trying to explain this. What is a petach? What is it that the Chacham needs to do for you? And it's very important to do this because coming up we have a time when we all get rid of our nedarim, and that is Hatar Nedarim, right before Rosh Hashanah. Hatarat Nedarim is a din mentioned in the Gemara, and it says it can be done with a Yachid Mumche, that's a single person who's an expert. Or it says we can use three Hedyotot, three regular people. So what's a Yachid Mumche? What would be the singular expert? So the Ramban says he has to be Samuch. He actually has to have Smicha. And we're talking the real Smicha, straight Mesorah all the way down. We don't have it today. According to the Rush, it's a little more lenient than the Ramban. This is somebody who is Gamor V'Savor. He knows the Halachot, and he has his own Svarot. The Shulchan Aruch says we don't have a Yachid Mumcha today, according to any of those definitions. There's nobody today who's Gamor V'Savor. So therefore, the one expert is out. Our only option is three Hedyotot, three regular people. But even the regular people have certain requirements. They have to be gemiri lahu v'savor. That is, we explain them the halachot, and they understand. The level of they know the halachot and have their own svarot, we don't have. Baruch Hashem, we have people who when you explain them the halachot, they understand them. That is who is on our Beis Din now for Hatar Nedarim. This is not someone who knows halachot, just to understand the halachot if you explain it to them. There's an additional condition mentioned in the Gemara and Paskin in the Shulchan Aruch. They have to know how to find a petach to get out of a nether. A petach is an opening, a way out of a nether. Beit Din can be matir a nether in two ways. They can nullify your vow through two paths. One is called charata, regret, and one is called a petach, this opening. These are two different methods. But in order to sit on the Beis Din for Atar Nedarim, you have to know how to find this petach. And the Shach says, even if the Beis Din is trying for Harata, you still have to know petach. Meaning you have to know both ways, even if the Beis Din is trying to do one. Which is why I thought it was worth our time to take a minute to review these halacha before Rosh Hashanah, because we're all going to be on these Batei Dinim. Besides Gemiri and Sviri, we need to know how to find a petach. So let's start with Harata. What is Harata? When it comes to the regret, we say it has to be what's called Harata Meikara. You have to have regretted taking the vow, but not only do you regret taking the vow, you regret ever having taken the vow. Meaning, I regret the entirety of it. Let's give an example. Shuvat Arashva has a question. There was a person who really, really loved cheese. He loved cheese so much. And the doctor said to him, listen, you got to cut out the cheese. It's killing you. So what does he do? Okay, I'll try. He tries. It's not successful. So the only solution he had was he took a nether from cheese. I take a nether. I will not eat any cheese. Sure enough, he gets healthy. And now, he's allowed to have cheese again. But the problem is, he took a nether. So he says, okay, I regret taking the nether, because now I can eat cheese. What's the problem? It's not Meikara. He's very happy he took the nether at the beginning. It saved his life. It's only Harata now, after his life was saved. Now, so that harata wouldn't work to help him out of the nether, because it's only if he regrets he took the nether from the very outset. If he's mechari now, that doesn't help. And the Shulchan Aruch stretches.
May I ask a question on that? If I could,
yeah.
Is that okay? Is that premature? I thought that if the man could say, "Look, had I known that I only needed to eliminate cheese temporarily, and then I would get better, I never would have made a neder. I could have done with a short-term cutting out. That's meikara. Isn't that meikara? If I had known from the start, I never would have made this neder from the start. It's only because I thought. The doctor said cheese is going to kill me. So I decided I had to take a neder. But I never would have resorted to such an extreme intervention. So is that not meikara?
So that might be what we get to the category of petach in 1 second. But that doesn't fit Harata Meikara. You're not sorry you took a nether. The nether saved you. Harata Meikara means, I wish I had never taken a nether. Not, I wish I don't have the nether now.
What I meant was, if I had known that if I eliminated cheese for 2 months, I'd be healthy and then I could eat cheese again, I never would have resorted to such an extreme measure from the beginning, Meikara.
But he didn't know Meikara.
He didn't know it would be temporary.
I thought that's the example. That's whenever you say Meikara. There was something I didn't know. So I went ahead and did something extreme, like taking
a nether.
Had I known Meikara?
Now I know that I shouldn't have done it forever. I should have done, let me take a nether for 2 months. So that's what's called possibly a petach. But that's not Harata Meikara. So now we're going to understand the rules of the petach. Okay, and you'll see the difference. Petach. We asked the person, if he would have been aware of this at the time of the nether, would you still have made the nether? If the answer is no, we let him out of the nether. A simple example of this, Shulchan Aruch Yoredeya Reish Chavcheh 228, says a nether that involves another person. If you knew how insistent that person would be, would you take a nether? Like, let's say I take a nether not to go to a certain place. And then I discover all my friends love going to that place and they go all the time and I never get to hang out with them. So I wouldn't have made that nether. That's a petach. There's no need for harata meikara when there's a petach. They could go together, but you can have one without the other. There's other details of a petach, one more that I want to focus on, and then we'll go back to the rest of our sugya. But the Gemara says you can't make a petach because of kvod hamakom, means, had you known that if you take a nether, you're limiting the kavod of Shemayim, doesn't work. Because a person has to be able to say yes. And nobody would say, ah, yeah, I would have been pogim on Hashem's kavod. And the same with disgracing your parents. Did you know you're disgracing your parents and you would have been okay with that? Oh, yeah, I like disgracing my parents. Since nobody would say yes, we can't use that as a way out of it. But the halacha I wanted to... Oh, also one more is like, if had you known it would have been a problem of loti kom or loti tor or lotis nad al chicha bevavecha. In other words, I took the nether not to do that because I don't like that guy. So we also don't allow that, and there's a whole discussion in the postgame of why this isn't what's called manal masha katu b'torah. Not our topic right now. But the one I wanted to focus on is, we have one more halacha when it comes to petach, is that it can't be with a nolad. Nolad means new circumstances. They had to be in existence when you made the neder, and you just didn't know about it. Something that developed later wouldn't help. But there is an exception to this, and that's called ragil or shchiach. This is normal. It's expected. So even if it's new, it's expected. How do I make this clear? Well, I have a mesorah from my Rebbe in Lander College, Rav Eliyahu Soloveitchik. But my problem is that his example is a little outdated, and you'll see why. But here was his example, because he comes from Chicago. And he said, imagine a person takes a neder, I am not going to go to a baseball game. And then the Cubs end up in the World Series. Can you say, had I known the Cubs would end up in the World Series, I wouldn't have taken the neder? No, because that's not shchiach. That's not common. That's not expected. You take a nether not to go to a game. Because in the nether, you have so much time to learn, to accomplish in your work, to spend time with your family. But now the Cubs are in the series. What do you do? And you can't say, I'm in charet me'ikara, because in the meantime, you had all that benefit of all that time, everything you were able to accomplish. He wouldn't have gotten all that benefit without it. So charata has to be me'ikara. And a petach has to be... The petach that comes from nolad is only if the nolad is shchiach and ragil. And to explain, he threw in a joke that he said in Chicago, the idea was that an optimist sees the glass as half full, a pessimist sees it as half empty, and a Cubs fan sees it as full and waits for someone to knock it over. So I think he has to update his shir on Hataras Nedarim now due to the new mitziyot. Okay. But that was... Now we can understand this Tosfot. Let's look back inside on Yudalit Amud Aleph. Tosfot says, everybody had onus, circumstances beyond their control. This person didn't have circumstances beyond their control. He took another. So what is it that wasn't his control? And the answer was, there wasn't a chacham around to help him out of his nether. Somebody who understands the difference between charata and petach. And the second possibility to Tosfot is that the petach is new. Meaning, only now did they get into the World Series. So only now do I have the way out. Or only now did my friends decide they liked to start going to that place. So now it's back to shaving and haircut. Meaning, you're not going to shower until the Cubs get in the World Series. I'm not going to shave, get a haircut until they get in the World Series. So this guy's been waiting 100 years for that to happen. And all of a sudden it happens. So that's what Tosfot says. So now, Tosfot's question was, the Mishnah is listing circumstances beyond your control, and the answer is, that Tosfot gives is, these are indeed circumstances beyond your control. Because you need the Chacham, who knows those halachot of Nedarim, to help you out of them.
Can you give us an example of Charata Meikara?
Okay. Charata Meikara?
Charata.
Yeah. An example of charata meikara would be where... I'll give you an example. When I learned the halachot of Hilchot Tzitzis, so I didn't learn them so thoroughly the first time, but I decided I should be wearing wool tzitzis. And then when I got to the army... They told us all we had to wear green tzitzis. You weren't allowed to wear white tzitzis because you would be seen. Everything has to be camouflaged.
You're talking about the
beged? The beged, the beged. So Rav Lichtenstein told me I didn't actually take a nether, but I took upon myself that I was going to start wearing wool tzitzis. So we consider that, especially when it comes to Atar Nedarim, to be a nether. Something you take upon yourself, you do three times, it becomes your habit, is a nether. So he said, you regret ever having done that without having in mind that it wasn't a nether. Meaning, I took it upon myself, but I should have said, Bli nether, I'm going to do this as much as I'm able to wear the wool tzitzis. But I didn't ever want to take a nether on myself at any point. I regret from the outset having taken such a nether, meaning I didn't literally take the nether, but in effect, took one. So that was from the outset I ever regretted having let this be a nether.
So the case you're giving,
yeah,
the variable that makes the difference is not how you thought about the nether. The variable that makes the difference is, was this a nether? You just went ahead and did this three times and saying, I think I should wear a wool tzitzis, I do this three times. And now the question is, does the three times you did constitute a nether or not?
It does, but I'm saying I should have done it in a way that it doesn't. So I regret ever having let a nether be chala myself. From the beginning, from the outset, I always should have done it bli nether. That was how he explained it. But let's continue.
I have a question.
Yes.
These Chachamim who put the man in the Nidui, they should have known it was going to come out at that time, at the wrong time.
So what Isser...
They should have put him in Nidui at that time.
But how is he going to solve the case with his neighbor who wants him to pay for the fence or whatever, for his cow? So that's what you have to do. And this guy should know better to not do whatever it is he did, because he's going to go into Yontif looking like a shlump. Okay. Let's go to the Gemara. First line of the Gemara, Yadalad Amid Aleph. The Mishnah had listed people who are allowed to shave. Ushar kol adam maitai ma'asurin. Why is everyone else not allowed to shave? What is the assumption that the Gemara is making? What does that question assume? Meaning, we assume it makes sense that you would be allowed to. Why does it make sense that you would be allowed to? So, Tosfot here says, Afa pi shehi melacha, haya lanu lahatira litzora hamoed. Even though it's a malacha, since this is going to make my sukkahs, my Pesach, better, I should be allowed to do it. Av shiyesh melocha rasur b'moich in van Torah k'mon prakamatya mikol makom zeshahul yipoy ra'oy latir l'chvod moed. Even though there are forbidden melachot, we don't say that everything is allowed, even when it's tzorach hamoed, even when it's for the needs of sukkahs or Pesach. We don't say that. Right? You've been spending two chapters discussing all times. That's not true. But this time, it makes sense it should be allowed because looking nice is part of the moed. The strongest language I saw for this is in Source 1. Source 1 says, it's the Ritva, Pirish, Af agav de giluach malacha gemurahi, even though it's clearly a malacha, Mikol makom, kevan shehi tikun haguf, b'yipoy haguf, since it fixes your body and makes your body more beautiful, kitzorech, this is not the sheets, I don't know. I only have one side of one. Kevan shehi tikun haguf, b'yipoy haguf, kitzorech ochel nefesh dami. Ochel nefesh. That's like a code word, a buzzword we use for yantif. What is ochel nefesh? Even on yantif, you're allowed to do certain activities letzorech ochel nefesh, right? It's one of the heterim that the Torah gives. We're allowed to cook even on yantif itself because you need food on yantif. So here he's saying making yourself look nice is a need of yantif. So therefore you might say, hey, I look a little unkempt. I want to trim my hair, my beard, whatever it is, I want to be able to do that. So it makes sense that you should be able to. And here we have a Mishnah saying most people are not able to. And here we have a list of people who are exceptions and they're allowed to. So the Gemara is asking why it makes sense that you should be allowed to. Why would we answer this? We want people to look nice. We allow ochal nefesh. And the strongest language I saw was the Ritva.
It's quite a jump.
Quite a jump, right? More than just a need of yantiv or it makes you look nice. It's ochal nefesh.
Required.
Required. Well, this good. That word required is going to be part of our focus at the end regarding what you discussed about people who shave every day.
This is the jump. I know it's discussed somewhere, you know, can you shower on yantiv? So, or can you heat up water for showering?
On yantiv,
and
yeah.
Some people, and some mefarshim take ochal nefesh. Or not the mefarshim, the Gemara.
Gemara says.
Takes ochal nefesh, take that broad.
Yeah. So when we say it's shavu l'chol nefesh, is showering a need every day, which is why our modern poskim just are more lenient about it, especially when it comes to a three-day yantif like we're going to have soon for Rosh Hashanah. So maybe on the second day of, it's already a need to shower at least every other day. Okay? But again, yeah.
Another thing to consider is Simchas
Yantif.
If you well camped, you're taking a shave or a haircut, etc., etc., your Simchas Yantif is enhanced.
Yes. It's one of the Mefarshim calls it Simcha Hulo. And I think it's the Rashi on the Rif. I don't have it right now in front of me, but somebody mentioned Simcha as well. Okay, you are Mechavin to one of the Rishonim. Okay. So the Gemara answers. Kiditznan. Anshe Mishmar va'anshe Ma'amad asurin l'saper u'l'chabes. People who are part of the Mishmar and the Ma'amad. What are the Mishmar and Ma'amad? The Kohanim who served in the Mikdash didn't do so all year. Most of the year, they lived at home. Twice a year. Because once every 24 weeks, it was your family, your Mishmar's turn to work in the Mikdash. In fact, though, your family only worked one day of that week because they were still split up into Batei Av. But 1 week a year, it was your Mishmar, one every 24, so again, 2 weeks a year, it was your Mishmar's turn to go to the Mikdash. And Anshe Ma'amad was, since the Kohanim are acting as the representatives of the whole nation, and we want Kapara, and we want Mifayes Hashem to appease Hashem, and we want Hashem to fulfill all of Klal Yisrael's wishes. So we also sent representatives, who was representatives of the non-Kohanim, who went to the Mikdash to watch, make sure they're doing a good job, to root them on, clap at the end. So they went to the Mikdash as our representatives of the whole nation. So those people, the Anshei Mishmar, the Kohanim, whose turn it was, and the Anshei Ma'amad, whose turn it was, Asurin L'Saper U'L'Chabes. They cannot get haircuts, and they cannot do laundry. U'B'Chamishim U'Tarim Mipnei Kvod Shabbat. But, though they did Sunday to Shabbos, Thursday, they were allowed to in honor of Shabbos. Now, the Chamishim U'Tarim Mipnei Kvod Shabbat is a rather throwaway line here. Because the support that the Gemara is trying to bring from it isn't from that line. We're going to discuss that line in a minute. But for a minute, let's read it as though it's not there. Because the flow of the Gemara doesn't relate to it. I'm going to ask a question from it, which is in source 3 in a second. But for a minute, you'll see the flow of the Gemara doesn't even relate to it. Yeah. Allowed into the Zara to go watch. They don't go into the...
That's where the Malach is done?
Much of it. They chef and then they go bring it on the Mizbeach. There's parts that we do, the lighting of the menorah, so the flame can come from a Zara. We light the flame and he takes it inside and lights the menorah. So there are parts that we can do, yes?
Why does the Gemara say Chamishi and not Shish? Seem more logical if it's the Shabbos to
so if you were doing laundry and getting your haircuts on Friday, you wouldn't have time to do your Friday Erev Shabbos prep. So therefore, we already consider Thursday to be the day that you're going to do all this prep for Shabbos. That's a discussion already in the Magen Avraham about when is the best time, lo kasher to Yontif, every week. When should you be doing your haircuts and laundry for Shabbos? And he actually concludes laundry is best done for Shabbos on Thursday. Yeah.
There's an Indian of not cutting nails on Thursday that some people keep because on the third day.
Not cutting
Shabbos,
all the nails.
Oh, all the nails?
Yes.
Ah.
Okay. As Shmira Shabbat Kil Chata reports it, unless you have another source.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But he says all the nails, meaning you could do half, some, most.
So one or two or three, you want to.
Yes.
Isn't the idea that on the third day, the gross.
Kabbalah? I'm not holding it. Yes?
Why did you say Yom Tov?
Yom Tov. You would think Kol Shekein on Shabbat.
There is no Yom Tov. It's every week.
But I'm saying, Eric, Chol HaMoed. This is talking about Chol HaMoed.
No. Every week, the Kohanim.
I talk about every week.
This is, you know, Aleph, Elul to Zayin.
This is skip. This puts Chol HaMoed aside right now.
Correct. Correct. The Gemara is asking, why can't you shave a Chol HaMoed? Why can't you shave a Chol HaMoed? And it says, it's like the Anshei Mishmar. We haven't even understood what happened yet. But like the Anshei Mishmar. So the Anshei Mishmar and the Anshei Ma'amad cannot shave or do laundry. The Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chanan, this is not part of the Mishnah, but he explains. Amar Rabbi Elazar, my taima, what is the reason they can't get their haircuts during that week that they're on? Kidei shelo yikantzu l'mishmartan kishehein minuvalin, so that they don't go into their week all unkempt. In order that they show up properly shaved, rather than leave it to when they have more time. And why do they have more time? Because again, they're on only one day that week. So maybe this week I'm busy, I'm at work, next week I have miluim. Let me leave my haircut for next week. No. We want you to show up properly haircut, proper shave, so that you will be ready for your avoda looking proper. And the Mefarshim here explained, because it also says lechabes, that he had laundry. So what's the laundry? They did their avoda in the Bikne Kahuna. So even the clothes they arrive in, their home personal clothes, should be nice. They shouldn't show up to the mikdash in dirty
jeans,
and unkempt clothing, even though they're not going to do the avoda in that clothes. You show up to work and you change, and then you do the avoda. Even those clothes should be washed before Yom Tov.
They should be properly groomed.
Properly groomed. Groomed, yes. They have to look nice. So, Hachanami, Kedei Shelo Yikantzu Beregel Kishehein Menuvalin. So too here, we say, you cannot get your haircut or shave on Chol HaMoed because we want that you should do it before Yom Tov. So the Chachamim made a gzera. You are not allowed to shave during Chol HaMoed to make sure that you shave before Chol HaMoed. And that is how the Gemara flows. So now I said that line there about Uvachamishi Mutarim Nekvot HaShabbat isn't part of the flow of the Gemara, just a further quote of the Mishnah. But Tosa Rid in Source 3 asks the question, why is it that we do allow the Kohanim to do laundry and shave on Thursday, Kvot Shabbat? Uvachamishi Mutarim Nekvot Kvot Shabbat Davka Ba'anshe Mishmar, specifically these Kohanim, Matzanu Heter Zeh. For them we have this leniency. Aval b'moed lo. Yes, I know it's with a vav, but that's what he means. B'moed lo hutar ligaleach klal. Lo b'chvod Shabbat, v'lo b'chvod Yom Tov. When it comes to Chol HaMoed, there is no dispensation that allows you to shave. Not for Shabbos, or not for Yom Tov. So why, when our idea for, why can't you shave in Chol HaMoed? We want you to show up beforehand proper, just like the Kohanim who were asked to show up beforehand properly, but yet the Kohanim have a dispensation for Thursday. So why don't we have that for Yom Tov? V'tayma demilta nirali she'im tatir ligalech b'chamishi b'moed meikara takanta derabanan שההדיוטות סוברים שמפני שהגילוח חשוב עבודה נאסר במועד כמו שנאסרו שאר עבודות. What does he say? If we allow you to shave on Thursday of Chol HaMoed, the people who aren't as learned will think, why are you not allowed to shave in the Moed? It is like the other Avodah. And then, what's going to happen? Thursday comes, everyone's going to shave. V'im yiru shebachamishi megalchin, yigalchu nami b'chol HaMoed. Why is everybody not shaving? You're not allowed to shave in Chol HaMoed. Thursday comes, everybody shaves. I guess you are allowed to shave in Chol HaMoed. So I'm going to shave Friday Chol HaMoed, Sunday Chol HaMoed, Monday Chol HaMoed, Tuesday Chol HaMoed. I'm going to shave all the days of Chol HaMoed. Meaning, I thought everybody wasn't shaving Chol HaMoed because you're not allowed to. All of a sudden, I see everybody's shaving in Chol HaMoed. So therefore, this heter of Thursday for Shabbos is only for the Kohanim in the Mikdash, where that hashash, that possibility doesn't exist. It's only not allowed for Chol HaMoed. Why? Aval Anshe HaMishmar, the Kohanim, Shehi Chol Gamor. It's a regular day. It's not Chol HaMoed. Yodim Shelo Nasar Machmar Avodah, Ela Kedei Shelo Ya'alul Mishmartan Kishehem Menuvalim. Hilkach Im Yatiru HaChamishi, Lo Yabo La'atir Kol Yemei HaShavua. They are allowed to do it every single day, technically. It's Chol. It's not Chag in any way. But we wanted them to go into their start of their week, not unkempt. We wanted them to be properly kept. Therefore, just because we allow them to do it on Thursday, they're not going to decide to do it on Tuesday. That is Tosfot Reitz's answer. It's a better question than the answer, I think. But it's meaning he noticed what we noticed, which is that line of the Gemara isn't part of it, isn't part of the discussion, because we're only focusing on the fact that they are not allowed to shave during the week in order to make them shave beforehand. So we're not allowed to shave during Chol HaMoed in order to make us shave before the Moed. And then he said, but look, the Mishnah that you quoted says that they're allowed to shave on Thursday. So why don't we have that for Chol HaMoed? So he had to answer what he answered.
Could the Kohen shave on Chol HaMoed on Thursday?
The Kohen.
That week is
all the Kohanim are on during Chol HaMoed, meaning it's not just Anshei Mishmar. There's 24, 48. And then that week, all the Kohanim are on.
That week of Chol HaMoed.
I think they all have to shave before.
And that on Thursday?
I would guess not. I don't know the answer to that.
Goes back to my question.
I don't know the answer to that, but I would guess not.
That would go back to my question of why not say Yom Tov? Because if they could do it for Shabbat, why can't they do it for Yom Tov? It's the last day of Yom Tov.
So, but maybe they can do it only for the first day of Yom Tov. Meaning, if the first day of Yom Tov falls out on Tuesday, and the Anshei Mishmar show up Sunday, Monday, so Monday they can shave the Chol Yom Tov.
They can shave for Shabbat, Chol HaMoed Shabbat. Why can't they shave for the last day of Yom Tov?
So who said they can shave for Chol HaMoed Shabbat? Yeah, so I would assume not, meaning.
Right.
Okay. Fine. So now we've established the Mishnah has a list of people who had circumstances beyond their control, and they couldn't shave before Yom Tov, so they're allowed to shave on Yom Tov. Everybody else, we want them to shave before Yom Tov, and therefore we don't allow them to shave on Yom Tov. Yes? On Chol HaMoed.
I understand what you're saying, but why would the general population take from the fact that the Kohanim, not everybody's a Kohen, so just because the Kohanim have to do it before, because they have to serve, why does that all of a sudden the general population is no, well, because they did it.
Comparison is only being made to the extent of we have this idea of you need to get your hair cut in order to look nice. And as fitting as it is for the Kohanim to look nice when they do their avoda, it's as fitting for you to look nice on Yom Tov. Okay? So we're not learning from the Kohanim as much as we're learning from the idea that it's appropriate to look nice on special occasions. Okay. Fine. So now the Gemara has a question. Bayi Rabbi Zeir. Avda lo avida erev haregel. Kevan de anis mutar, o kevan de lo muchacha milta lo. Rabbi Zeir asks, let's say a person had a lost object right before Yom Tov. So because he was busy, looked like a chicken without his head, looking for this lost object, running around frantically searching, he didn't keep track of time. He ran out of time and didn't get his haircut before Yom Tov. So now it's Chol HaMoed, and he was busy Erev Yom Tov. Can he get his haircut on Chol HaMoed? Meaning the Mishnah lists somebody who else wasn't available Erev Yom Tov. He was in prison. He was in Midinat Hayam. He was unavailable to shave. So this person's unavailable to shave. So what's his question? We know that the Mishnah lists cases of ones, circumstances beyond his control. How much beyond his control do we need the circumstances to be? Okay, and that's going to be a question later in the Gemara. We're going to fine-tune it. The Gemara is going to ask a follow-up or another in Lishna Batra, a second language. In other words, if we're going to answer this one as yes or no, I have a follow-up. But there's a Mishnah that says circumstances beyond our control. So anything that's beyond my control or only very beyond my control. Now, what are the two sides Rabbi Zera offers? Kevan de anis mutar, since it is a circumstance beyond his control, he can shave now. O dilma, kevan de lo mukhecha milta lo. Or, because it is not clear to everybody, he can't. What is the second side here? What is it we're asking? Rabbi Zera notices a common factor here in the list in our Mishnah. Somebody got out of captivity or prison on Chol HaMoed, everybody knows about it. Without getting into how from everybody is, but imagine if Jonathan Pollard or Gilad Shalit shows up and you see them shaving on Chol HaMoed. So you might be like, they can shave because they just got out of their captivity. That doesn't mean anything about me. So Rashi and the Ritva here have a little discussion. What is it that he's asking? Rashi here, it's the third Rashi down, the lo mucha milta, the lo yadi kule alma, the anasaya, ele yomru hu mechavin lahashur aramboid. They won't know that Erev Yom Tov, he had something, he had an ones, he had circumstances beyond his control, and they'll see this guy shaving, and they'll go, why is he shaving now? Well, now he has time. Now he has a chance. And therefore, they'll either assume that I guess I can shave on Chol HaMoed. That's how Rashi sees it.
That has to do with how many people, because Rashi says the Kule Almo.
Kule Almo.
So some people know, some people don't know. You're supposed to determine how many?
That's exactly the question. Because look what the Ritva says. Ritva, source 2. Pirish. Ein lanu lechalik bedavar kidei shelo yavo lahatir kulan. The Rabbi Zera is asking, is this considered ones or lo mucha milta? What's lo mucha milta? We shouldn't differentiate because then people are going to allow it in all sorts of cases. The ein lahakshu lama lo nemar kein b'chol ha-shinuyin b'mishnatenu. And then you might ask that about all the cases in our Mishnah. How many people know about a person who took another? How many people know about his nidui? The hatam kala rabba ilahu. Everybody knows. It makes a lot of noise. The chule alma yadi shanusin gemuru hayu velo atilu chlufei ba'alma. Everybody knows those people got out of prison. Those people came from far away. Those people came from out of town, and therefore they have a reason they need to be able to shave. And if I see them shaving, I don't learn anything about myself. Now, again, this still seems strange regarding the nether. So let us go back to our source sheet. Source 9, the Shulchan Aruch and Siv Gimel, says, Afilu im haya anus, u'mipneikach lo gileach erev yontof, eno migaleach b'moed. So the Shulchan Aruch's conclusion is that even if you had an ones, and that's the case of what our Gemara is talking about, like this guy who had an aveda, lost object, he can't shave on Chol HaMoed. Says the Mishnah Berurah in Source 10, the second one, afilu im haya anus. Kigon sheneva lo ave the beriva regel. He discusses our case. Ola uman, or the barber was missing his item, and that's something we're going to discuss when we get to the end of the sugya. The lo haya yachol galeach, and he could not get his haircut. Ochiyai gavna, in similar cases, shari onsen, levad amavorin leheder b'sifim shacharzen. This, except for the few mentioned here in the Shulchan Aruch Siv, Dalet Hei Vav Zayin, which are the cases in our Mishnah. Dahani onsen meforsamen v'geluyin lakom. Who? She'iyav shar lehem legalech mekodem. Because everybody knows about this ones, that he couldn't do it beforehand. Aval shari onsen, and I'm a foresummon. But other ones, like a lost object, isn't so public via doing. Vim natir lahem yavo la'atir avshalom mitoch ones. And if we allow them to shave on Chol HaMoed, then other people are going to allow it in all sorts of other cases. Because they're going to go, why can that guy shave? Oh, he was busy Erev Yontif because he lost an object. I was busy Erev Yontif. And they're going to go shave.
But
as in, not a good enough reason,
yeah,
is what he's saying. Meaning, everybody has a reason. They got stuck in traffic. Guests showed up Erev Yontif. My wife sent me to the store for more food. There was a long line to Rami Levy. I didn't have a chance.
The traffic is
Shriya. That's not our topic now. That's Nezer.
How about the case of Nisha Al-Chacham? That's also not moving from
Israel. Not so public, right? So the
is that public?
So he has to explain why that is considered to be more public. But apparently, people who took such a nether, there was a certain level of kol. I mean, since we don't take nedarim, we're not used to that. But he said there was a certain certain element of kol, meaning that word got around. Everybody knew, oh, that's the guy who's not eating cheese. You know, that's the guy who's not shaving. He's been unkempt for a while.
It's not comparable to the
It's not comparable, I agree. But the Rishonim have to explain that that there's a certain public element to his nether. Okay, but the Shara Tzion, which is the Mishnah Berurah himself, explains that he's paskening like the Ritva. Ha'ikar nirek kamoshe katav ha-Ritva, source 11. I'm paskening like the Ritva. Dahani ha'ones atzmo hu davar galoyu baror. Shelo ayav afsherlo. Everyone knows he didn't have a possibility. Ma she'en king b'shar onsin she'en ha'ones galoyu muchlat asru. Dekol echad yomar sha'ones haya. Shelo ayalo penayu keyotze b'zeh. Everybody's going to say, hey, he had a good reason, Erev Yontif. I had a good reason, Erev Yontif, and I can go shave. And therefore, when the Chachamim, when he's asking the question, Bayi Rabbi Zera, if you lost an object, is this considered ones? Because our Mishnah is cases of ones. Or is there another common factor to the cases of the Mishnah? And a little bit dachuk, I agree with you on the nether, but for 99% of the cases of the Mishnah, it is a common factor that everybody knows about it. So, Is our Mishnah cases of circumstances beyond their control, or circumstances beyond their control that everyone knows about? That is Rabbi Zera's question. What is the Gemara's answer? Abaye offers an answer. Amar Abaye, Yomru kol asrikin asurin, srike baitus mutarin. He answers with a catchphrase, a saying. What is the saying? The Gemara Pesachim, Lamed Zayin, has a discussion. We know baking matzah, you have to be very fast, or else it's going to become chametz. So the Chachamim said, you can't make matzot mitzu yarin. You're going to draw a design, roll it and pat it and mark it with B, put it in the oven. So the mark it with B, you're not allowed to do on your matzah. You cannot put a design on your matzah. Because the people who are going to sit there taking their time to draw a house and redo Rembrandt and Van Gogh on their matzah, in the meantime, it's going to become chametz. So what did Baitus do? Baitus said, I'm a professional. Watch this. And he did a demonstration for Chachamim. He set up a stand in the mall, and he showed them. And he made a matzah with a mitsuyar, split second, extra time. It was no extra time. So the Chachamim said, no, we still can't allow you to do it. Because we can't have different sets of rules for different people. People will see your matzot b'tzuyarin, and even though they come from your bakery with the badate the charedi hechsher on it, and it says these matzot are kosher and they're not chametz, and they're going to open them up and they're going to see matzot b'tzuyarin, They're going to go, I guess, matzo mitziyar are allowed. Because it can't be srike baitus mutarin. Kola srikin asurin srike baitus mutarin. It can't be that you're not allowed to do it and only he is. So everybody's going to assume because you're allowed to do it, they're allowed to do it. They don't have the tfus, the print, the imprint, the mechanism that he had in order to make his diagram. They're going to do it by hand. It's a much slower, more arduous process, much longer process, and their matzot are going to become chametz. So because we don't want them to do their matzot mitziyarin, we are going to tell you, you also don't do matzot mitziyarin. Because we can't have two sets of rules for two different people. So Abaye says to Rabbi Zera, you also. You also can't, just because you had an aveda, a lost object, right before Yontif, so you're going to be able to shave on Yontif? Everybody will go, what, he can shave and I can't shave? That can't be. And therefore, you're not allowed to shave for this aveda. In other words, this circumstance beyond your control isn't public enough. Because nobody who sees this is going to know that your din is different. When people see the Jonathan Pollard shave, his situation is different. But when they see you shave, they don't know. And therefore, they're not going to say, it doesn't make sense. They're going to say, it doesn't make sense that he can shave and I can't. And they're going to go ahead and shave. So Abaye's answer to Rabbi Zera is, no, not allowed. Uletamecha, Rabbi Zera says back to Abaye, Ha de Amar Rabbi Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol mi she'en lo ela chaluk echad, mutter lechapso becholo shalmoed. Anybody who has only one shirt can do laundry in Chol HaMoed. Hatam nami yomru kol esrikin asurin srikin baitas mutarin. If you're telling me that the operative rule is that we can never have two sets of rules for different people, we have to have one set of rule for everybody, then how is he going to make an exception for the person who only has one shirt? How can he go ahead and do laundry in Chol HaMoed? The person's not going to know. He's going to see him doing laundry in Chol HaMoed. He can do laundry in Chol HaMoed. I can do laundry in Chol HaMoed. What is Rabbi Zera disagreeing with Abaye about? Is he disagreeing with the rule of Kol HaSrikin, or is he disagreeing only with the application of it? The application of it, right? He's accepting your premise. I agree with you. We can't have two different rules. But according to you then, how do you explain the fact that we allow mechabes? Meaning, I'm okay with it. I'll allow the guy to shave, and I'll allow the guy to have laundry. But you, who says no to the shaving because of srike baitus, because we can't have two sets of rules, then how do you explain the second set of rules here? Meaning, I'm granting your premise, we shouldn't have two sets of rules. So, ha itmar Allah, amar mar baravashi ezoro mochiach alav. Here it's different, because the guy who's doing laundry on Chol HaMoed, because he only has one shirt, everyone will know because his belt is on him. And, whoa. What is clear is that a person who has only one shirt does laundry differently. And somehow the difference involves a belt. But the Rishonim here, in one of my other gigs, I'm the editor of the Steinsaltz English Gemaras. And the footnote there, we compiled, I think, about 7 or 8 answers as to how it works. Is it that he gives in his laundry with his belt and wears just an undershirt? Or he gives in the shirt and leaves just a belt with a little bit of cloth to cover himself? There's all sorts of explanations exactly what the clothes were back then and how, you know, one of the explanations is that everybody else had a belt attached to all their shirts. So if you had 8 cloaks with 8 belts and this guy had, even if he had multiple shirts or only one belt, meaning somehow everybody else gave in laundry with belts and he kept his belt. There's all sorts of explanations. So without, if you're really interested, there's a nice footnote there. But without getting into that, I'm just trying to focus on the Pshat Gemara is, clearly, this this person, everybody knows when he's doing laundry, leave him alone, Niskein, he only has one shirt. Okay? And nobody's going to decide, because that guy's doing laundry, I can do laundry. Just like if you saw the person from captivity shaving, you're not going to say, well, if he's shaving, I can shave.
Would you shave
one at a time?
Made for the Amha'at. Apparently the whole thing is based on lack of knowledge. Because if they know, the halacha, evidan adam lachav zkut. So the whole business seems to be based on Amha'at.
Yeah, but I think there's even a certain level of knowledge we're accepting. Meaning, people know that in general, I can't shave on Chol HaMoed. I mean, we're not talking a person who knows nothing about Yiddishkeit. Person is generally from, and may, you know, see the person from captivity shaving, but somebody else shaves who he doesn't think has any special circumstances, he's going to think that's okay, that guy looks from. So the concept of, you know, it's similar to Maris Ayin, but Maris Ayin isn't only based on Amaratzot, meaning...
What do you mean? What do you mean by that Maris Ayin is not based on
Amaratzot? It's not only based on Amaratzot, meaning even if I'm learned, I might be misled. Yeah, so he's going to think he has a... It's a good question why we're so concerned, but it could be that there's an element of Amaratzot. Mm-hmm. We're not expecting everybody to be Talmidei Chachamim, but it doesn't mean that we're only concerned about the lowest level of society. There's still a certain range of people that we're being concerned should follow the Halacha. But it could be that there's an element of Amaratzot there. I hear what you're asking, that... So why don't they just go ask the Talmud Chacham? Okay. Yes?
Why isn't the case of one shirt one of the cases in the Mishnah?
Good. Good question.
What's your question?
He asked. The Mishnah lists certain cases as these people can shave on Chol HaMoed, even though you're not allowed to generally shave on Chol HaMoed. These people can do laundry on Chol HaMoed, even though you're not allowed to generally do laundry on Chol HaMoed. The Mishnah doesn't list as one of their examples somebody who can't. Somebody who has only one object of clothing and therefore has to. It doesn't list it. So his question is why that's the case.
Is it so prevalent that a person should have only one garment, one shirt?
So you're saying so it doesn't need to bother to list it. Okay. One answer could be that it's rare. Another answer could be, you have a Gemara? Go with me to Yud Zayin Amud Bet. We are in the Tosfot on the right side, 17b, or 34 on top on mine. The Tosfot is Vitano, but go down, and mine there's a little circle for the Gilyon Ashas. It's six lines from the bottom of Tosfot. Okay? You see Di'ika LeMeimar?
Yes.
Okay. Di'ika LeMeimar... Tani Vashir, Tana Vashir, Kamochain Hani, Tana Vashir. So the second answer I will give you is it's something called Tana Vashir. The Mishnah doesn't say these are the only ones. Okay, that's the second answer I could give you. Who else gives this answer? Ramosha Feinstein. Okay, so you were, that's the last source on our sheet that I hope we get to soon. Okay? And a third answer could be that it's also so obvious. That we're gozer on the normal situation and a guy who has no choice. Okay, and I may have seen that in one of the Tosfot.
This year, I mentioned to you that there were two opinions I know. That the observation said that if you shave every day, you must shave on Chanukah, I think. And Moshe Feinstein said if you shave every day, you may.
That's our focus. We're getting there.
That's one.
Let me just finish two more lines of the Gemara, and we're going to go to that topic.
Okay.
Okay? Good. Rav Ashi has a different version of what Rabbi Zera asked. But like I said, it builds up on it. Because right now we had, our Mishnah says circumstances beyond our control. And first we had Bayi Rabbi Zera. Here's another circumstance beyond our control. Is that enough of a considered enough beyond his control to be? And we said, no, that is not enough beyond his control because other people will learn from it. Okay, so let me see if I can up the ante a bit. Here is a circumstance beyond his control, a little more public. Bayi Rabbi Zera, Uman sha'avda lo aveda erev haregel, mahu. Kevan de umanhu mukha milta, or kevan de lo mukha milta kihanach lo teku. An uman, an artisan, a craftsman, or as Rashi here tells you, kugon sapar, the barber. Everyone in town is waiting at the barber shop for their haircut. And meanwhile, the barber is the one who has a lost item. And he's looking around and probably giving bad haircuts because his mind is elsewhere. And everybody knows the poor barber was looking for something Erev Yontif, and he probably was busy shaving everybody else Erev Yontif, so he didn't shave himself. So is that considered public enough for us to be able to allow him to shave on Chol HaMoed? And the Gemara answers, Teku, and 90% say, Teku, what are we doing at Teku? You're not allowed to do it. That's how the Shulchan Aruch paskins. Though the Beis Yosef is rather curious, because why are we not allowed to shave on Chol HaMoed? Is that a Doraita?
No.
It's a Darabanan, a Gzeira. We wanted you to go into Yontif nice. Because if it's Darabanan, Teku, Suffik, he finds it very strange. But, you know, he paskins, he has rules, the Shulchan Aruch, he paskins based on Rambam, Riff, Rush, so he says, okay, they paskin that way, that's how he's going to paskin. But he finds it bothered. The extreme on this is the Rav Yah, who says, yes, anybody who had an Aveda, go for it, you can shave on Chol HaMoed. But the majority of them conclude, Rambam, Rush, Riff, they all say, Teku, no, end of discussion, yes.
I thought that when we say Safek Derabbanan Makula, it's not referring to a case where we had opinions this way and we had opinions that way, and we don't know how to paskin. But that's not where Teku, that's not where we say Safek Derabbanan Makula is. We don't know exactly what happened. We don't know what piece of meat he got, what shop he got the piece of meat from. Well, we don't know exactly where he found it. We don't know something about the Metzius. That's where we say something about Bar Lakula.
I think that's also. That's also. That's true, what you're saying. But this is also one of those cases. When we have a Teku in the Gemara, we don't know how to paskin, so we suffix Daraita, Darabanan Makula. Also Tekus when they come to Bnei Adam, like, is it his cow or my cow, or does he owe me money or not? So we say it goes by status quo. So if the person hasn't paid yet, he doesn't pay. If the person took the money already, he doesn't have to give it back. Okay, that's how we deal with tekus. Okay, one last point before we move to your topic is, who is Rabbi Zeira asking about in this case of the Uman? Tosot here, from the bottom of Yedalit Amud Aleph, Uman she'avda lo aveda erev aregel, pirish v'kuntres, but Uman mibayle. We're asking about the barber. What's the other possibility? Source 4. Beit HaBechira, the Me'iri, says, Ir shelo ayasham elas avarecha, there's only one barber. V'nen asoto asapar v'lo yachol esaper me'erev yontov, im haya anus. So he was busy, and now he couldn't give haircuts. Imaya ones nikar, now everybody knows about it, lahedja. So that would be different. He says, Zohi shenishala besugya zo. That's who we're asking about. We're asking about the whole town.
Can they get all
in the brackets? Bain hu mutar lisaper ve anshia ir lisaper. Everybody else. I couldn't get a haircut because the barber was busy. So now can I get a haircut? Rashi says we're asking, can the barber get a haircut on Chol HaMoed? Me'iri says we're asking about everybody. I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
That is, all of them couldn't get their haircut on Erev Yontif. Can they all go to the barber on Yontif?
Yes. And that's what on Chol HaMoed. And that's what the Gemara is answering, Teku. And the Shulchan Aruch, and based on everybody, is saying no. Okay. Now let us get to the big topic that we've all been waiting for, which is, what about somebody who shaves every day? Can they shave on Chol HaMoed? Or specifically, can you shave on Chol HaMoed for Shabbos Chol HaMoed or the last day of Yom? Okay, as you were asking. So, we have in Source 8, the Torah cites a view of Rabbeinu Tam. The Torah says, Ein Magalchem HaMoed, we can't do it. But go down to where I bolded. He says, V'rabbeinu tam pirish. Kevan shezehu atam. The reason you can't shave on Chol HaMoed is because we want you to shave before Chol HaMoed. What if you did shave before Chol HaMoed? In kvar gileach kodem HaMoed, mutter legaleach b'moed. If you already shaved before Yontif, then the whole gzera doesn't apply to you. Because the gzera was to make sure you shave before Chol HaMoed, therefore you can't shave on Chol HaMoed. But if you did shave before Chol HaMoed, you could shave on Chol HaMoed.
But the gzera is a gzera.
The gzera is a gzera, but that's not who they were gozer on. They were gozer on everybody who didn't shave before Chol HaMoed. That's Rabbeinu Tam's view. And the Torah says, no. Kashem o lahatir. This is a very tough thing to allow. V'gamein o nirchein. It doesn't seem right. One, we're talking about Radim. Ita havale laforta. Okay, you asked, how come the Mishnah doesn't list it? The Mishnah doesn't list that. It doesn't say, these are the people allowed to shave on Chol HaMoed. Somebody comes from Medinat Hayam, somebody who comes from prison, and somebody who shaved before Chol HaMoed. Why isn't it in the list? Just like it said about kibbutz, and it's not in the Gemara even. I mean, the Gemara lists one that wasn't in the Mishnah. Kibbutz, right? The person who has only one shirt can shave on Chol HaMoed. So if the Gemara is going to list that exception, let it list that exception. That's his first answer. First reason not. The ode. We're on the top of the second column. Mi yodea in gileach kodem HaMoed. We said that everybody knows about these. The ones, this mefursam lakol. Everybody knows this guy got out of prison. Does everybody know this guy shaved before Yontif? So why are we going to allow him to shave on Yontif? Because I'm going to see him and go, oh, he probably shaved before Yontif. Just like the Gemara says, the mishavda lo aveda of erev HaMoed, somebody who had a lost object, nobody knows about it, and we're okay, maybe a few more know about it if it's the barber, but still that's not enough of knowing about it, so everybody's going to know that this guy shaved before Yontif?
Well, everybody knows that you shave every day.
Oh! Oh! That's the point. That's where emotion is going to go. We're going to get there.
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to point out source 5, 6, and 7 very quickly. It's the same Rabbeinu Tam, but source 5, Hagot Ashri, are the comments on the Rush, and he has it as a Yesh Sherotzim Lomar. Some want to say. He doesn't say that it's Rabbeinu Tam. Adam Shegileach Erev HaRegel Mutter Legarech BaRegel. And what does he say? Ein Nireh. No. Source 6, Hagot Maimonio, comments on the Rambam's Mishneh Torah. Yesh Sherotzim Lomar Mehai Taim Adami Shegileach Erev HaRegel Mutter Legarech BaRegel. Somebody who shaved before Yantiv can shave on Chol HaMoed. They're mistaken. Shilte Giborim are the comments. The same person who wrote Ein Mishpat Ner Mitzvah in the Torah or in the Masoret HaShas wrote comments on the side of the pages of the Rif. It's called the Shilte Giborim. And he cites Rabbeinu Tam. He says, Rabbeinu Tam Pasak, Kemen Shezehu Atam, In Ken Gileach Kodem HaMoed, Mutter Legaleach BaMoed, V'Kasheh Ma'ol LaHatir V'Gam Eino Nirakein. And I actually wrote Pasak, which is interesting, because look what the Torah has in source 8, Rabbeinu Tam, Pirish. Okay, and that's going to come up right now. The Shulchan Aruch Paskins in source 9, you have to mitzvah legaleach b'erev Yom Tov, you have to do it before Yom Tov, and megalchin b'moed afilu gileach kodem HaMoed. You can't shave on Chol HaMoed even if you did beforehand. Okay, he's not accepting this Rabbeinu Tam. Mishnah Berurah, source 10, the first one that we didn't read before, Afilim Gileach, Ditu Ein Bo Chashash Shezeika Sheikanes LaRegel Kshin Muval. The guy who shaved before Yontif no longer has this reason that we're concerned he's going to go into Yontif unkempt, because he did. Gileach Atzmo Gam Kol Rachel, Gam Kol Rachel. He shaved himself even before the Regel. Afilu Hachi Aser Mishuma Rowan. Other people will see it. Da Roel Loyo Deash Gileach Atzmo V'Yomar Shemutar LaGileach B'Chol Gavni. And he's going to say, oh, I guess you can shave on Chol HaMoed. So that is the standard approach, not like Rabbeinu Tam. Along comes source 12. The Noda B'Yehuda was asked about shaving on Chol HaMoed. And he needed it for two reasons. One is in this tshuva. In this tshuva, he says there are people who do business with the Sarim, they're the government liaisons of the Jewish community, and they need to shave. So in source 12, Rav Yehuda, Rav Yecheskel Landau, he says, Nishalti ayom im mutar legalech hayidei mishicha v'chol moed. That's the cream they used to use. Can you shave on chol moed? And well, the fish ayum it's starned yoter elu regil legalech sakam, because they're in pain. If you normally shave, you can't. And the, or it could be an emotional pain again because they're going out in business. V'ineach tzarti lechalotin nai asrdi. Shekola poskin nechlechul Rabbeinu Tam. I saw nobody who quoted Rabbeinu Tam and agreed with him. In fact, some don't even want to mention his name. Yesherotzim lomar. Ein onire. Tau tu biadam. They're wrong. It's a mistake. But he says it can't be. Hinein atati libi. I thought Shagavra Rabba Amar Milta ain Mezichin Velo Maznit. It can't be that somebody as great as Rabbeinu Tam said something and there's no basis, he's so wrong. So he says, I have to understand what this is.
Ein Mezichin Velo Maznit, it sounds like it's a...
We don't abandon it. Lazniach is to leave it alone. As in, we can't ignore his psak. This is him trying to find a heter for people who need it. And he's going to use Rabbeinu Tam incorporated in his answer. So he says, one second, let me find a good spot to pick up from. Here's his assumption. His assumption. The assumption we've made until now is the reason you can't shave on Chol HaMoed is because we want you to shave before Yom Tov to go in nice. But now that they made that gzera, did we deal with the question of whether there's still an Isser Malacha on Yom Tov? So he says, even if we got rid of the question, like Rabbeinu Tam says, of we want you to shave before Yom Tov, you shaved before Yom Tov, so that doesn't apply. So now you might tell me that there's still an Isser Malacha, the shaving, on Yom Tov. So he says that, we have the rules that we've had until now, the parak. There are people who don't have enough money, so they need to work on Yom Tov, on Chol HaMoed. So he says, such a person can give you the haircut. Go to the bottom of the page, and it's going to continue on the next page. Vim gileach erev haregel. And it's in bold, three lines in the bottom. If you shave before Yom Tov, vazlega gzera shelo yikanes, now there's no longer the gzera of don't go into Yom Tov unkempt, asur misham malacha, mikom makom asur misham malacha, it is still forbidden, as it's a malacha you're doing on Yom Tov. V'lachein lo chashvinan lahatim v'mashnatenu, which is the reason it doesn't appear in our Mishnah. Because the question we had, that the Torah Orach Chaim had against Rabbeinu Tam, was, if Rabbeinu Tam is right, that somebody who shaved before Yom Tov can shave on Chol HaMoed, the Mishnah has all the exceptions, or many of the exceptions. Why isn't this one of them? The Gemara has an exception for somebody who has no clothing. He can do laundry. Why isn't this one of those exceptions? Somebody who shaved before Yom Tov can shave on Yom Tov. That's a good answer too.
It was never done.
It was never done. Okay, that's part of Ramosha's answer as well. But, says the Dod of Yehuda, that's the reason it's not in the Mishnah. Because if you did it, it's not part of the Gzerah. The Mishnah is listing those who are the exception to the Gzerah. Aval hefresh gadol yesh benim ha'isr mitzad melacha sh'az mutter ayedei po'al she'en lo ma'yochal. If the problem is melacha, so then I can allow you to go get a haircut from some poor barber. He can do the work for you. And if the whole point is to make you shave before Yom Tov, the fact that the barber is poor, it doesn't help you. When the Mishnah lists those who are allowed to shave or get haircuts on Chol HaMoed, it's listing those who can get it done by any barber. Here, this is an example of one that you can only do al yidei poel ani, a poor one. And therefore he concludes, I allow it in yaskimu rabotai, if the rabbis allow it, befrat lemisha holech ubaitzel sarim, those who are going to hang out with the government ministers, they can rely on this, they can go shave on Chol HaMoed, if they shave before Yontif, they can shave on Chol HaMoed via, meaning using a poor barber. Many, many took the Noda Yehuda to task on this. I found one of the strongest against it, quoted by others as the strongest one, is the Yad David in Source 13. Yad David says, Yad David was Rav Yosef David Zinsheim, he was the chief rabbi of France in the late 1700s, the first chief rabbi of France, and he said, Raket Zagid, he has a long piece in refuting Rabbeinu Tam. He says, let me just say this about Rabbeinu Tam. Lo matzati b'shum posik sha'amra b'shem Rabbeinu Tam chutz me'a Torah. Nobody quotes this Rabbeinu Tam except the Torah. Isn't that strange? Tosfot always brings Rabbeinu Tam. They don't have it. The Smag, the Rush, Rabbeinu Yerucham, the Nemuke Yosef, the Ritva, the Rava Magid, the Aguda, the Piskei Halachot Ksarot, the Orchot Chayim, the Shibul HaLeket, the Smag. All those people don't have this Rabbeinu Tam. Who has it? A ghost, Maimon, has it in the name of a Yesh Omrim. A ghost, Ashri, has an Or Zarua, citing a Yesh Omrim, not B'Shem Rabbeinu Tam. And nobody quotes this Rabbeinu Tam except the Torah, and even the Torah doesn't say Pasak. Rabbeinu Tam, Piresh. Rabbeinu Tam explained. He didn't pask him this way. Shai Hayasha Pasak Halach Lamaisa Raksha Piresh. Bulai Loya Somecha Perisho. Maybe he doesn't even rely on it himself. He was talking Lamdus, Svara. The Chatam Sofer, Source 14, says this Nod of Yehuda, he had a secret. And another tshuva, the Nod of Yehuda sort of says he has a secret why he was matri, because people challenged it. That Nod of Yehuda is what's called Madura Kama. There was a later Nod of Yehuda known as Madura Tanaina, a later one. So he says he had a secret why. So the Chatam Sofer says, he's too private, let me tell you his secret. People there were shaving with razors. And he had a shita, the Nod of Yehuda had a certain kula, it's also found in the Besamim Rosh, that it's possibly not an Isser Doraita, or at least a Limud Tzchos on those, that if you shave only a tiny hair with a razor, you're not over an Isser Doraita. So the Nod of Yehuda had to be matir everybody to shave on Chol HaMoed. Because if they didn't shave on Chol HaMoed, they were going to go a whole week without shaving. And then after Yantif is over, after the full Sukkot or Pesach is over, they're going to go shave. How are they going to shave? With the razor. What type of Isser are they going to violate? Isser Doraita. So better I should be matur them to shave on Chol HaMoed Isser Darabanan and avoid the Isser Doraita. So that's the first point that Chasam Sofer makes. But he still disagrees. He says, and second of all, he says, don't think that Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif, you're mechavited by shaving on Chol HaMoed. He says, Zehu chvodo shel Yontif, shikanes b'yontif achron menuva. That's how you honor Yontif. When you go in with a 5 days of beard growth. The fact that you didn't shave on Chol HaMoed is how you honor Yontif. And that was the Chatam Sofer. But along comes Rav Moshe Feinstein, the final source, and with this we'll finish. I see our next speaker is here. Source 15, Igro Moshe, says, I was asked about Bizman Azeb Mdinatenu, Shekol Elu Haragilim Bitisporet Azakan. They shave. Mistaprim Bechol Yom. Velechain Ein Shayach Tam Acholkin Rabbeinu Tam. The whole reason of those who disagreed with Rabbeinu Tam doesn't apply. Why? Bimedina Shakol Mistaprim Bechol Yom. Even if it's Rov Mistaprim Bechol Yom. Shiyadua sha'afshin nistaper b'erev yomtov mistaper ata en shayachashat ze yesh latir l'chuli alma. The whole issue we had was if I see him shave on Chol HaMoed, I'm going to think everybody can shave on Chol HaMoed. Because why is this guy special? He says, he's not special. Everybody shaves every day. He certainly shaved erev yomtov, so that chashash doesn't apply. And then again, the question we had, why wasn't it in the Mishnah? So he said, you know, he has an answer for that as well. And he says, but again, it doesn't apply in the type of place where everybody shaves every day. In addition, he says, and somebody here mentioned it, that back then nobody shaved so often. So it wasn't nachutz kol kach, is his lashon. She'en nachutz kol kach la'atir b'giluach isra malach b'moed, she'en kol kach tzorach ha'moed. He says, all of that discussion is only about a yachid. One person, we can't allow him to get a hair, to shave and get a haircut on Chol HaMoed, then everybody's going to learn it. What about if everybody does it? So Moshe Feinstein says, "Chein barer lani adaiti de bizmanenu in our times minin atenu shenogin elu aregilim v'tisparta zakan li staper b'chol yom." In our times, where people do it every day, v'af b'yom achar yom or every other day, or achal d'shloshi yamim, even if it's every third day, but it's still consistent. Leka shum iser, and he throws in that everybody would agree. V'ulagam anodim Yehuda, and everybody would agree with it. Mikol makom, I think any noheg lahatir ela mishi yeshlo tzorech biyoter mitzar biyoter, somebody in pain or somebody who needs to for business purposes. And that's the end of the source sheet. Now I'm going to add about Rav Soloveitchik, because I heard from Rav Lichtenstein Zatzal. He came in and he said, somebody came up to me in the shtiblach and they said, "Rav Lichtenstein, is it true you are matir people to shave for Shabbos Chol HaMoed or the last day of Yom Tov in the middle of Chol HaMoed?" He says, "You heard wrong. I require it." And he said, the reason is, if it's allowed, it's required. And he based it on the Rav that you've been presenting all day, which is that, the Rav said, part of Kavod Yom Tov in our society where people shave more frequently is, how can you go into Yom Tov looking unkempt? Meaning, unlike the Chatam Sofer, who said that's part of the Kavod Yom Tov, he says, in our society, that's not considered Kavod Yom Tov. And therefore, if you're allowed to, so then you're required to. And that was what Rav Lichtenstein told us.
It's not for the Beijing.
Rav Moshe didn't paskin like that. He says, I'm only matir for...
Yeah.
Someone
asked
the
clean the house, clean the house, the biggest carpet for Shabbos is that you don't clean the house.